At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
It's a circus. Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch spoke to the media like 2 hours ago and said that they hoped that Brandon Ayuk would practice today. I guess they were like crossing their fingers real tight, but it didn't work because he didn't practice today. Surprise! Jesse and I will talk about that next on 49ers After Dark. What's up? Welcome to 49ers After Dark. We're your host, Jesse Naylor, Grant Cohn. If you just tuned in and you haven't been following the Niners today, Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch spoke. And they're supposed to be talking about the 53-man roster, but that's not. No one cares. It's like Brandon Ayuk, Trent Williams. And they both said that they hoped Ayuk would practice today. And if he didn't, then they would deal with that at that time. Well, he didn't. Jesse, are you surprised?
I am surprised. And here's the thing. I was told very early on in the offseason that he wasn't going to play if he didn't have a new deal. You know as well as I do, Grant, we get tons of things thrown our way. What's true, what's not true, it's almost impossible to decipher. I'm not in the building. I don't have direct source. So I don't know, right? Mm-hmm. You just take things with a grain of salt. But I kept hearing that. He's not going to play. He's not going to play. But when he showed up and did the whole hold-in thing, and then last week I really thought gave it away, where he was forced to go to the game because they were going to fine him. I was like, okay, well, Brandon, come on, dude. You're going to preseason games at this point to avoid fines. There's no way he's going to sit out at this point, right? Well, I guess I was wrong because, you know, all of that was still, I guess, within reason as far as the discussion phase. It was still preseason. It was still training camp. Well, now we are here where decisions have to be made, where final offers have to be extended. And Brandon Ayuk saying, no, I'm not showing up. I'm not playing under these circumstances. Either come up to my deal or trade me. That's where he's at, it seems like.
Again, this is 49ers After Dark, powered by BetUS. I feel like I'm not surprised. I think I've been, for the last couple of weeks, I've felt pretty confident that Ayuk's going to stick to his guns. The Niners are going to stick to their guns. And I think we'll talk about what's going to happen next. But I don't feel like I'm that surprised. I was surprised that the Niners sounded confident that he was going to be out there. But as I was sitting there, I was like, you don't say you expect him out there. You say you hope. Like, I hope for stuff. I hope for all kinds of things that don't come true. But that almost seems like a Hail Mary. Like, we know he's probably not going to be out there, but funny things happen in life. You never know. And he wasn't out there. So, do you think the Niners are genuinely surprised, or do you think they've been bracing for this?
I think they're surprised. You know, there's obviously been a lot of things that have been reported. Who knows what's fully true, what's not? What is Brandon Ayuk trying to get out to the media? What are the 49ers trying to get out to the media to negotiate that way? But hearing insiders say today, Garofalo was like, you know how many times I thought this thing was done one way or another? How many times do you think the 49ers probably thought they were close to getting this thing done? And then it's like, which side of the bed did Brandon wake up on today? Like, we don't know what we're going to get. Like, you know what I mean? So I'm sure they probably thought they were close. They probably had a discussion today. that discussion didn't go well, and here we are. So
I think the Niners are surprised, and I base it on nothing. No, I base it on certain facts, but no inside information. I think they're surprised. I think they've been sort of underestimating Brandon. I don't think they know Brandon that well. I don't think anyone knows Brandon that well. And I think they felt like, well, Mayoko said it. He just didn't want to go to camp. Okay, camp's over. I think they thought, all right, camp's over. Now we let all those fines go. Now we'll threaten to fine him. He'll fold, man. He just wanted attention. He just didn't want to practice. He doesn't really want to get fined. He doesn't really want to get traded. It's like, oh, I think he does. I think you underestimated him on that one. And I think if they knew he wasn't going to be out there, would they have gone out to the press conference and said, fingers crossed? Or would they have been like, no, you know, Brandon's not here. We know that. And he's not going to show up. And here's what we think about that. Like, wouldn't you, isn't that a more powerful, like, we know what's happening. We're out in front of it, as opposed to, gee, I guess we'll all find out at the same time, huh, guys? I don't know. It seems weak.
Yeah, it seems like they've lost their, I wouldn't say full leverage, but it seems like they're losing control of the situation. When Matt Maiocco said that, he also said that about Trent Williams. Like, it just seems like these guys don't want to be here. And maybe that's what the 49ers thought, too. Maybe they thought, hey, we'll get to the end of preseason. We'll offer what we're going to offer, and we'll, the team will be back, right? Like, everything's going to be fine. If that's the way the 49ers thought, but they didn't know for sure, it's not ideal because here we are. All of it's over. The season is here, Grant. Trent Williams isn't. Brandon Ayuk is not. This is not going according to plan. It's just not.
Absolutely not. And I think it's interesting. Like, the 49ers keep trying to call Brandon's bluff. Like, you're not going to actually, because like, he hurts the Niners by doing this, but in the Niners' eyes, he hurts himself. Like, dude, don't you care what people think of you, how you're perceived? I think it's fair to say, I would imagine a lot of people around the league are looking at Brandon like, what's his deal, man? What does he want? What does he want? Do you know what he wants? I'm not sure anyone could really articulate exactly what it is that he wants.
I don't know. And, but that's the hard part. Yeah. Yeah.
You don't want to go to
the Niners. No, I think you don't want to go to exactly what he wants. I think the Niners know. I just think the Niners aren't willing to meet those demands, but the Niners also haven't been willing to put their foot down. And this is where I blame the organization. And when that report came out today, I posted a video. I was on a walk today and thought it through. And I'm like, the 49ers have messed up to this point by not choosing a lane. But now the season is here. You have to put your foot down. You have to say, this is what we're willing to do. This is what we're not willing to do. If you're willing to trade them, then just trade them and be done. The trade is there. Just get it done. If you're not, though, you just have to put your final offer forward and say, this is it, Brandon. Take it or leave it. That's it. And then let him do what he's going to do. Now you know he's going to sit out, though. You know he's going to sit out. So the 49ers have to retreat and come up with some sort of game plan here.
It sounds like their game plan is to force Ayuk to play on the fifth-year option. And it seems like Ayuk's game plan is to not do that. So I want to thank both parties for being so stubborn. I mean, like, there's so many people I want to thank for this beautiful content opportunity. But really, you got to start with Brandon, John Lynch, Parag, Jed, Kyle, maybe Kyle first and foremost, but both Kyle and Brandon for being so similar and yet so different. I thank you for this, because it was getting kind of, I mean, no Trey Lance anymore. I mean, we needed something, and Brandon, you provided. So did you, Kyle. Thank you.
The quarterback situation ended, and we all thought this offseason would be tough. There's way more drama. There's way more drama now than there was this time last year.
Yeah.
Because even when as much as Bosa was holding out at this time, at this point, they had already traded Trey. Okay.
Yeah.
Bosa was holding out. Everybody just knew that Bosa was going to be there. Everybody knew he was going to be there. They were eventually going to cave. They needed Bosa. It was going to be done. Is Trent going to be there? I don't know. Is BA going to be there? I don't know. How can anybody be confident at this point? These are two very different situations.
Yeah, let's take some super chats. Kiwi says, if two sides want to get a deal done, it usually happens. Talking about Trent Williams, Brother Bob says, gimme cha-ching, settle two auto cases for $787,000 and five. Well, I don't understand. But thanks.
He's good a enough. Lawyer, I think.
Oh, Michael McCann says, let's be honest. There may be threats of a fine, but he'll never have to pay. This front office is soft. Ayuk will be traded at a discount. We will discuss what's next in a minute. Thank you for the super chat. Charlie Sinclair says, $200 million investment. Why Niners are pinching pennies? Talking about the improvements they're making at Levi's. Levi's is right behind me. What do you think of the improvement so far?
So good. I'm glad they improved the Wi-Fi.
Oh, I work here.
I was going to say, you actually are glad. You are glad they improved the Wi-Fi.
It was already great, though. I don't understand. SD49er says, will TW get the same fines as BA from Kyle? Hasn't he been getting fined already?
He has been getting fined. Yeah, and the difference is that with BA, because he's on his first contract, his rookie contract, those fines can be forgiven if they come to an agreement. They can't forgive Trent Williams fines. So those fines have to be paid out. Now, that doesn't mean they can't add money to the back end and say, oh, it's for fines, but not really. But technically, he has to pay those fines no matter what.
Absolutely. Is that all we got? That's all we got. Yep. We're done with the show. Just kidding. I have another question about this. Do you detect the 49ers taking subtle shots at Brandon Ayuk publicly?
Yes. Well, one of them was what Kyle said. It was brought up during the super chat. If two sides want to get a deal done, it'll get done. I think that was a subtle shot from Kyle. I think there was a subtle shot from John Lynch when he talked about the young receiver that they brought into the practice squad and said, well, I mean, we just feel strongly that any receiver is going to have their best show out here with the 49ers. Like, okay, well, there you go. That's a shot at BA if I've ever seen one. And I don't know if Debo's taking shots or if he's taking sides, but dude, he posted something on Instagram that was like a major, major backing of Trent Williams. Where's the backing of Brandon Ayuk?
Yeah.
So yeah, I think so.
I thought there was one more that I detected.
Oh, okay.
John Lynch was talking today and he was talking about Trent Williams. And he said, you know, we've had a lot of good community. There's a lot of good communication there. And so I said, have you had good communication with Brandon? And he smiles. He looks down and says, we've had communication.
Oh, gosh.
Couldn't use the word good, though. I mean, sure. I mean, communication could be anything. Could be really bad. And it doesn't sound good. If you had to put it in the good or the not so good, and if those are the two categories, I'm guessing the communication has been not so good.
Well, it also, he was asked, are you going to find him if he doesn't show up? And he said,
we're not going to get into all.
Yeah, we'll deal with that if it happens. We're not going to get into all that. But at some point, it's time to show up and play. It's like, oh, okay. So basically, you're telling him it's time to show up and play. We're past all the other stuff. Okay.
Well, then let's get into it. What's next? The title of the show is Brandon Ayuk on the verge of getting suspended? I mean, he could get fined, they could suspend him, they could take a really hard line. They could do nothing. They could trade him. I think the Steeler fans watching, and there are a lot. There's Steel. I'm big in Pittsburgh these days. It's gonna end once this is done. But for now, for the Steelers fans watching, what do you think is gonna happen? And I guess the Niners fans too. They are somewhat interested.
Yeah, I mean, this is beyond every sign that's in front of us. But I can't sway now a week before the season. I've been saying all offseason a deal will get done. So I'll stick with that for the sake that, damn it, I'm stubborn too. So I'm going to stick with it, even though all odds seem against it. But what I would do if I'm the 49ers, I think the 49ers have lost their leverage at this point.
Okay.
It's too late. Yeah. What were you going to say?
No. Go ahead. I agree. I think they've lost their leverage, but keep going.
Yeah. I think the 49ers have lost their leverage at this point. And the only thing they can do now is, like I said, they have to put their foot. They have to decide what they want to do first. Are you, because if you're willing to trade them and that's true, then you, that's got to be done tomorrow. You cannot let this linger anymore. Get him out, be done with it. Now you know that he's for sure not going to be here on the fifth year option. If you're willing to trade him and that's what you prefer to do, then it's got to happen tomorrow. But if the expectation is that you're trying to win a Super Bowl and you're trying to keep him, then you come to him tomorrow also with your best and final. Maybe you've already done that, but you reiterate that point and you say, you accept this or we'll see you in week 11. Period. That's it. Like, that's the only choice they have. So to me, that's what I would do if I was the 49ers. But also, if I'm the 49ers, I'm done dealing with Brandon Ayuk. That's it. I'm also now putting all my efforts into Trent Williams and hoping I can get one of them back, because it doesn't seem like it's going to be BA at this point.
When we were asking Lynch and Kyle, like, what happens if he doesn't come to practice, it didn't sound like they were thinking that they would up their offer if he didn't come to practice. It seems like the Niners are now trying to take a hard line and that the consequences are going to be punitive. Or, I mean, obviously they have the right to fine him, and I think they will. It seems like Ayuk saying he doesn't care. They could suspend him. But it seems like I've been saying this for a couple of weeks, I guess for the whole offseason. I think that this is leading up to the Niners trading him and saying, look, we did everything we could. He was just really unprofessional, essentially. He was impossible to deal with. We couldn't have professional communication the way we did with Trent Williams. I mean, that's the distinction they're trying to make. It's like, yeah, Trent wants money, and Trent kind of blindsided us, and it's really uncool that he's doing this, but at least we can talk to him. At least we can do business like adults. Like with Brandon, we don't know which emoji to pick that day. Or I don't know, but there's something that they can't even freaking communicate. And I don't know, it's interesting.
Do you think, because we've had a pretty good pulse of where 49er fans are at, and I think some 49er fans have been on BA side and some 49er fans are on the 49er side. Do you think after today that if they make a trade, that it'll be perceived a lot better by the fan base than it would have if they made a trade a week ago?
Maybe. I think maybe. But maybe not, though. I mean, if it happens, they trade him to the Steelers for a second and third, I think a lot of Niner fans will still feel like, dude, what happened? Which is one reason to feel like maybe they won't trade him. I mean, is it possible that Kyle and John are so dug in and so upset, and this has become so personal, that they would rather let him sit out and sort of torpedo his own value than actually give in? It seems like there's like a sunk cost at a certain point. Like, you don't need to win this war. Just get him off the team and get something and move on. I could see the Niners digging in and being like, no, you play on your fifth year option. If you don't want to play, then fine. Don't play then. We'll be fine without you. We would rather not trade you and have you be suspended or just not out there than take the L on this. We're not taking the L. Is it possible that the Niners are that stubborn?
I would hope not. I mean, this is business.
Danny O is that stubborn.
Let him sit. But that's fine. My issue with the 49ers up to this point is not any. If they traded them, I wouldn't say fine with it, but I would have been okay with it. If they traded them, I'd have been okay with it. If they made him play the fifth year option, I'd have been okay with it. If they offered him all the money in the world, I would have been okay with it. It's that they waited so long to pick a lane, and it seems like up until now, they really haven't done it. Now, the assumption is they will, because they know exactly what Brandon's intentions are. Maybe they just always thought it would get done, and so we don't have to pick a lane. It'll be fine. It'll work itself out. Well, it didn't work itself out. So they have to figure this out. Like, you can't compound your mistake that you've made all offseason by continuing to make the same mistake. Figure it out. It may be too late. It may be frustrating for us fans, but you have to make a choice and just go with that at this point. You have to.
You know, let me ask you it this way. Let's say the Niners trade Ayuk to the Steelers a couple days before the season starts and say, we tried. We had no, it was all we could do. It was the best we could do. We tried. Or they put their foot down. They don't trade him. They get nothing for him. He sits out and they try to make him look like a jerk. Which would the fans of the team prefer? The Niners giving in and capitulating and giving Brandon Ayuk what he wants and letting him win, or getting nothing for him, but winning the the little battle of wills.
I mean, I would hope that they would prefer the trade.
But
in the other situation, if he would have to play around week 11 to accrue a season, he will sit out, but he's not going to sit out the whole season. He's just not going to do that because there's no way he's going to be in this situation again next year. He's not that dumb. So he would eventually show up. And if this team is competitive and trying to win a Super Bowl, it's like, I mean, how can you argue against that?
Look, this isn't a scientific method. I'm just taking some comments from the chat, and I'm not.
Yeah.
It seems like Niner fans are upset with Brandon. And I think that a significant portion of Niner fans would be A-OK with the Niners forcing him, not giving them the extension, forcing him to play out the fifth-year option, and saying, shrugging their shoulders if he decides to sit out. I think a lot of Niner fans would think that's pretty cool. I think part of me would think that's pretty cool. And I have I'm not rooting for either side. I just think it would be so dramatic. I think it would help me. I'm rooting for me, and I like that for me. So
there's also future things that have to be considered here. If you do trade him to the Steelers or the Commanders, which I don't think the Commanders are really in it. A lot of people kind of connected the dots there, but let's say they trade him to the Steelers or the Commanders, the two teams that we know he was willing to play for other than the 49ers. What precedents are you setting for future players that aren't getting what they want? Not only will we eventually trade you, but we'll trade you where you want to go. I mean, can you allow that to happen as an organization?
That's a good question, but I would also answer your question with another question, good sir. Okay. They seem so eager to work things out with Trent. Doesn't that create a bad precedent? The precedent with Trent would be any player who has 3 years left on his deal can say, you know what? I don't like this deal anymore. Give me more money. 3 years left on it. Saying, oh, there's no guaranteed money. Like, you knew that when you signed the deal.
They just did it with CMC, though. They've already given into that with CMC.
That's a good point. And that's why it's not so good to create that precedent. Precedents matter.
That's why Trent's in this situation, because they did just do it with CMC. So saying no to Trent would be a weird thing to do after saying yes to CMC.
Yeah, I suppose it'd be a weird thing to do, but they can be kind of weird sometimes.
Yeah. We are in this situation after all, Grant. How many DMs did you get from Pittsburgh Steelers fans wondering?
Oh my God, all day today. Is he practicing? I was like, instead of responding to all of these people, I'm just going to put out a tweet. It's in 2 hours. I know you're on the East Coast. Just chill. It's going to happen. I wish this guy would change his name. Says, if Dominic Pooney turns out to be amazing, would he transition well to left tackle when Trent retires?
Sua Mataia would have.
Yeah.
But, the 49ers almost really kind of just pulled a fast one on the Chiefs by making them select him because, that's what they do.
That was really unfortunate that the Niners didn't end up with him. It seems like he's going to be good and that the Niners could have had him and probably should have. But they wanted Rosengarten instead and didn't get him either. Other than that, they did good. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
RS says BA needs to get married, invite Kyle and check. We'll be in the bank the next day. Kyle's just a wedding crasher. what about Trent Williams? There were also questions about Trent. The Niners always seem so much more hopeful and optimistic when they talk about him. What do you think of the latest there? Do you think he'll be there week one? What do we take away from the answers about Trent today?
I mean, I think that they had clarity on Trent going into today where they still didn't have clarity on BA. Because BA did show up initially and was doing the hold in for all the reasons I already mentioned. He showed up to the game last week. And so they're like, maybe he won't play hardball. Well, now they know. With Trent, they just know he's just not going to show up. He didn't show up in Washington when he didn't want to. He got traded to the 49ers. He was about to leave and go play for the Chiefs until Kyle Shanahan came and saved the day. But if Kyle would have said, you know what, Trent, we can't do it. Just come stay here, man. We got a great relationship. He'd have been like, see, I'm going to the Chiefs. I wonder if he wishes he had gone to the Chiefs at this point, but that's beside the point. They know exactly where Trent Williams is at. So there's no reason to play games in the media. There's no reason to get contentious with him. I mean, it is a different scenario. It's a way different scenario than BA because they know exactly what Trent stands for, what he's willing to do and what he's not willing to do. There's just no point in being frustrated with it.
I asked John Lynch, I was like, you know, it seems like you sort of saw this standoff with Brandon Ayuk coming, but were you surprised that this happened with Trent Williams? I mean, he has 3 years left in his deal. And it was funny. He was like, I wouldn't say that I saw the standoff with Ayuk coming. I mean, I knew there might be a negotiation, but it seems the Niners are really putting out there like, I didn't think Brandon was going to be like this. Apparently we didn't know BA the way we thought we did is kind of what they're saying. But I think with Trent, he's kind of saying like, yeah, I think we didn't necessarily plan for this, budget for this, but we respect Trent and at least we're having honest communication. Is that kind of what he's like? Look, it's not really fair what Trent's doing. And maybe it is fair for Brandon to, we knew Brandon was due for a negotiation. We didn't know Trent was, but at least Trent's being a grown up about it. Can't say the same for BA. That's kind of what they're saying. Now, I don't know that I take them as necessarily like reliable narrators, but that's definitely their stance.
Yeah, I mean, whether that's true or not, that's their perception. Perception is always reality. Perception is always reality. Whatever your perception is of a situation, that is your reality. And whatever BA's perception is of the situation, that's his reality. You know, two people can enter a room, see things. Hell, we do this every week, Grant. Every single week. We watch the 49ers play football. We then have an opinion on how that football game went for certain players or the team in general. And us as content creators and then the fans all have a myriad of different opinions off of watching the same thing. But perception is reality. Whatever we perceived it to be is the reality. I perceived that Brock Purdy didn't play well, and so that's my reality. You perceived he did play well. That's your reality, right? Like, that happens all the time. And so this is no different. This is no different. I also think that Trent Williams is much older. He's much more mature in life. And so you're not going to get those emotional changes. It's just, hey, guys, listen, I love you, but I'm not going to play without guaranteed money. Here's what my demands are. We'll see you when we see you. You know, it's that simple. And I won't be there until then. And then BA's like probably a lot more emotional in these situations. I would imagine that he is. I mean, the moment that he kind of oversteps his agent and is like, I'm having the meetings now, it's like, okay, well, clearly you've got some emotion with this. You've personally said that you do take it personal. So, yeah, I'm sure it's a bit of a roller coaster when it comes to BA and not so much when it comes to Trent.
All right, well, I think it's a good time to check out what the odds makers think about the 49ers, especially early in the season. Let's look at BetUS first five games. San Francisco 49ers wins after five regular season games. We've been talking about, are the Niners going to have a slow start? Well, the odds makers have them at plus 125 to be 5-0. They were 5-0 last year. Plus 175, four wins. Plus 275, three wins. Plus 700, two wins. Plus 2,200, one win. And plus 8,000, zero wins. What do you think is the, where are you going? What are you taking?
This is so hard because we don't know if Trent and BA are going to be there. You know, when you make a bet though, it's not what's necessarily most likely to happen, because let's assume the most likely thing is five wins based off of the schedule. If everybody's healthy and everybody shows up, that's not the best payout. The best payout right now is two wins. And it's like, well, I'll just put a little bit of money down on two.
Yeah.
And if Trent and BA don't show up, then I've got a good chance at this whole thing. So that's where I would go. Not that I necessarily believe that that's the most likely to happen, but if Trent and BA aren't there, I'll give me that two wins for 50
bucks. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to put 50 bucks down for two wins to make 350, but can I also do this? Will they let me hedge? Can I do that on BetUS? Can I put both down? Hold on. Let's say I put 50 on that. But let's say I put 10 on this one. Does that make sense to you? What do you think? Yeah. 10 to make 75 to make 137?
Yeah, why not?
How about that? See, I don't know, but that seems like a, you know.
I don't think I would go to 5-0. That's what crazy. Do they have 5-0 right now? Is like the
yeah, I don't most like those odds at all. What about the number one seed? Niners plus 300 to be the number one seed this year. I don't know about that one.
Oh no! Can I bet against that?
Well, who would you take to be the number one? Like, what odds do you like here?
Well, I mean, I think I'm Philly trying to find teams that are good value. You know, I don't think Philly has a chance, but they're not great value. I think the Packers have great value.
Yeah,
because I think they do have a chance at it, but plus 900 is great. I love that.
Yeah, you got to love that. I like Detroit because they have so many games indoors this year. Like, even their road games are mostly indoors, and they're like a totally different team when they're not outside.
Yeah. I don't think the Packers are the most likely, but for the plus 900, that's pretty good value.
You got to like that. Absolutely. To win 450. And then let's see if they got any other Niners action here. Wild card seed, 350 to be a wild card.
Jeez. That I actually do like.
Yeah.
Wild card, because that's not the only way you're not a wild card is if you get the number one seed. And I don't know how you can think the Niners are a number one seed at this point without those guys. Because the way that I see it, Grant, is even if those guys both show up at week one, you've got those two plus Christian McCaffrey that haven't been there all offseason. Your chances of losing to the Jets are pretty high. And if you lose to the Jets, that might be enough to lose the number one seed already. I mean, every game matters so much.
I'm with you on that, man. Those are our picks. I want to lock them in and see what we could potentially win here, because I need to know. Let's see. Hold on. It's going to calculate it out. It's going to think about it. Here we go. Okay. So I'm putting down 160 to make 832. And that's BetUS for you. Are you looking for a new book this football season? BetUS is the answer. They got the fastest payouts in the industry, 125% sign-up bonus, up to $2,000 on your first three deposits. Fast and easy deposit and withdrawal process. 24/7 personalized service, 365 days of the year. Live wagering on all major games. 10% back on your net losses twice a year. The best betting variety in the business. And your own personal account manager. Just check out my BetUS link in the description below. All right. We could come back to BA and Trent Williams in a minute, but the 53-man roster got released today. Well, yesterday. And waivers were done today. The Niners lost Cody Schrader. They lost Jarrett Kingston. They lost Samuel Womack. Let's go one by one. How do you feel about the Niners keeping Patrick Taylor Jr. instead of Cody Schrader?
I mean, the only way that it makes sense is special teams. I think Patrick Taylor he's a veteran. And so, you know, naturally he's probably better in special teams. And I think that's why you would keep him. He's your fourth running back. But as far as just who's a better player as a runner, I don't think it's close. Schrader's a way, way better player. I would have definitely kept Schrader personally. Here's my issue is the 49ers have gone out and they've spent good money on high value special teamers over the last few years. Their special teams aren't any good no matter what. So why keep the guy for special teams? Just make Schrader a better special teamer. I just think Schrader is a better player. It's more upside. Schrader was better every day in practice. It wasn't close. A lot of people want to talk about the statistics that Schrader had in the preseason. Oh, look at them having fun. Want to talk about the statistics that Schrader had. But if you go watch those games, he was running behind awful blocking lanes. I think Schrader is a pretty decent player. Nothing better than the fourth running back on the team, but I'll take him over Patrick Taylor any day of the week.
Yeah, it just seemed like another example of Kyle Shanahan taking a vet over a rookie or a young guy who might take a little bit of vision to see what he might be able to do. You know what Patrick Taylor can do. He's been in the NFL. Yeah. Cody Schrader is a promising UDFA that they tried to sneak onto the practice squad and didn't. And I think if he's on the Rams, he's on the Rams 53 and he's not on yours because you have Patrick Taylor Jr. Like, you better hope he's not any good because you let him go for nothing. And it seemed like you were into him you gave him a lot of first string reps this offseason, a lot. So there's that. And then there's Jarrett Kingston, who was one of two offensive linemen. They were very defensive when people were like, well, you didn't address your most important position. Like, yeah, we did. We took two offensive linemen, two. And Kingston seemed to be getting good grades from Pro Football Focus for whatever it's worth in the preseason. And then they tried to sneak him on the practice squad, as John Lynch said today. And he was like, he was picked up by Carolina, which means he was.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
One of the first guys taken off the waivers, right? Mm-hmm. Carolina.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, was it really smart to keep Nick Zakel over him or John Feliciano over him? I mean, they just put Feliciano on IR. It seemed like they probably could have kept Kingston.
I probably would have let Feliciano go. And not because Feliciano is not a good player, but because of exactly that. You're not going to have him for minimum the first 4 weeks. And he's older. You don't know if he's going to recover. A knee for a big fella like that, you don't know. You don't know how those things are going to go. And to me, Kingston showed promise at the guard position. I thought when he played guard, when he was center, it was a little rough. But when he was a guard in the preseason, I thought he was really good. I thought he was a standout. And also losing Kingston kind of puts a hole into the narrative. A lot of people are defending the 49ers over their offensive line picks and saying, well, I mean, the narrative is obviously they took two guys in offensive line. I mean, they do care. It's like, well, yeah, but they just cut one of them. So they really only took one, if you think about it. I understand keeping Zakel just because I think Zakel's a better center, and I think they want that depth there. But I think the move is the Feliciano move. That's the one I would have let him go, and I would have kept Kingston.
Yeah. Or Burford. No, I mean, sorry, like you just cut Samuel Womack, who is in the same class as Burford. He's got a club on his hand right now. He's never really done anything with that job. I don't know. It seemed like there were options though, but again, like they have 8 IRs with designation to return per season. 8. Mm-hmm. They used one before the season. They could have used 2. They used one on Khalil Davis. They could have used 2. They could have used the other one on Ambry or Feliciano, but they didn't. Instead, they waited and used them today. Like, what difference does it make? You have 8 one way or another. You could have used 2 before the season. You used 1. It just seemed like it was. You ended up putting Ambry on IR the next day. Put Ambry on IR yesterday, and boom, you have Jarrett Kingston on your team still. Maybe I'm not understanding.
There has to be some, and this is, I'm not great at the roster moves before the season, after the season. There has to be a reason that they maneuvered it that way, I assume. But yeah, I mean, at that point, then just wave Feliciano and see if he can make it back to you, right? I mean, because he probably would have been injured. I don't know if many people are clamoring to have Feliciano on their roster at this point.
Clamoring. Boxing Fan times 4 says, does 10 and 7 or 11 and 6 seem accurate for the season?
Depends on who's there and who's not.
I do want to point out that the Niners started 2-4 2 years ago and finished the season 13-4.
They can 3-4.
3-4.
they can definitely do that. But the thing is that if Ayuk and Trent aren't there, they're not making the playoffs. They're just not. I'm sorry. They're not.
808 Niners says, did BA not show up at all? The Niners could play hardball and put BA on reserve left list if they tell him to show up and he doesn't. Then BA gets no money.
I think that's only if he didn't show up for training camp. And once you show up, that you can't do that. So
the more I think about this, the more I feel like the Niners, I mean, I keep saying I think they're going to trade him at the very last minute, but now I'm starting to feel like they're going to
be stubborn,
kind of force him to sit out on that fifth year option. I think I don't think they want to give Ayuk what he wants. I don't think they do. I don't think they want to lose, be perceived as losers in this situation. And if Ayuk sits out and they get nothing, then I think a lot of fans would be like, good, good. And you said it earlier, like it's dangerous to create the precedent that a player can do this and force his way to the team of his choice right before the season, and the Niners have to take a deal that everyone would acknowledge is not a good deal. That's a dangerous precedent, right? I can see that.
I mean,
this could get weirder, Jesse, way weirder. And I hope it does.
This is the same team that wouldn't trade Garoppolo for a second because they thought they could get 2 seconds, or that's what he was worth, and allowed him to practice on the side without practicing with the team, because that's what was the best move for them and allowed that circus to happen. So yeah, maybe they are just willing to let this thing play out. They don't mind the uncomfortable awkwardness.
I feel like the Niners think they have the media in their pocket to such a degree that they can create a circus, stand in front of it, wave their arms and say, there's nothing to see here. And people be like, yeah, there's nothing to see here. Like Dave Lombardi be like, Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch said there was nothing to see here today. And that's what it is.
I agree with that to a certain extent, but I don't know if you've caught this drift, but the national media isn't as keen on the 49ers as they have been in the past years. The national media is starting to turn on the 49ers a little bit, not necessarily in these individual situations, but as far as them being a darling to win the Super Bowl, nobody, in fact, you're seeing more people come out in the national media and be like, they're not even going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, it's more of a local media take that I was talking about. That nationally, I agree. Right. I feel like nationally, people are looking at me like, man, I don't really follow the Niners every day, but every time I'm updated with something about that, like with them, it's bad or it's not good. Right?
Yeah, but that's the thing, though, is that a lot of the national media has kept this perception of Kyle alive. Oh, Kyle's a great coach. Kyle's a great whatever. You know, it's Kyle Shanahan. He's just so great. Mm-hmm. But are they starting to turn a little bit? And can the 49ers really afford a losing season or not making the playoffs and coming off of a Super Bowl all because they couldn't get things done with two of their best players?
I think the first time he lost the Super Bowl, he was a coordinator, and I think some national people let him off the hook. And then the second time he lost the Super Bowl, I think a lot of people put that on Jimmy. But this time, I think most people put it on him, and maybe they've been quiet about there are questions about him in a larger sense, but they essentially blame him for the loss. And now that they're seeing how this season is beginning to unfold, I think it's the target's on his back. I think I saw on SI.com, where I work, shout out to SI.com. I think, I don't know who exactly wrote it, but there was like the 100 biggest factors that will determine the Super Bowl winner this year. Number two was freaking Kyle. And I think people are starting to understand that the issue with the Niners isn't really their quarterback or their roster, it's their Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde coach. He's got a lot of pressure on him, baby. I mean, and also let's talk about like the vibes or whatever, not but just the news coming out. Anytime you hear anything, it's like, oh, the first round pick has a bad shoulder. Oh, that's not good. Nothing, no good updates with Brandon Ayuk. Oh, that sucks. Brock Purdy threw an interception in practice. Oh, that doesn't matter. Who cares? That's fine. Trent Williams also has been playing a lot of golf and won't be there. Oh, that sounds... he's going to be... Like, there's never... What has been the good news this offseason?
We love Pooney and Cowing, but that's not enough Pooney to override Cowing. All the other stuff.
Pooney and Cowing, thank God for Pooney and
enough.
Cowing.
It's just not enough. For pretty us, much. It's like we love it. All right, there's a future, but that's just not enough nationally to overtake a Trent Williams Ayuk situation.
Yeah, does Stephen A. Smith not know about Dominic Pooney and Jacob Cowing? Yeah. Like, bro, dude. Do you even know about those two really promising draft picks?
Loser.
Loser. But honestly, to give the Niners like some benefit of the doubt, Cowing could be a nice addition to this team this year. Pooney should be a big addition to this team this year. Like, D. Winters could help. Malik Mustafa looks good. I do think there could be an infusion of young players that could make a big impact if Kyle just lets them, if he just lets them and stops playing people like Devondre Campbell and Demetrius Lonergan Foles. I'm sorry. Come on, man. Patrick Taylor Jr. Patrick Taylor Jr. What? Come on, Kyle. Stop.
Garindo hurt himself again, too. What the hell, dude?
Juwan Jennings is out. He's been hurt. But Cowan's good.
I forgot about Jennings. Hasn't even been here. Oh, my gosh. Uh-huh. Oh,
there's
dude,
so bad this news is with the Niners. So it's hard to keep track of it all. And at this point, it's almost humorous. Like, you want to say it doesn't matter because it's not even September yet. But when you get, like, look at the full list and it's 30 things long, it's like, man, that wow. That's impressive. Not even mad. I'm just impressed.
I would love a poll from 49er fans. Like, as a 49er fan myself, this is just, it's a lot. It's an avalanche of just awful news, man. It's really, really hard to be optimistic about this season at this standpoint.
I gotta say, it feels like the front office and the coaching staff is trying to say, like, this window is still open, man. We gotta bound. We gotta stick together. We got this. We got one more year with this window. And the players are like, what are you talking about? We lost it. We missed the window. We lost the Super Bowl. It's your fault, Kyle. If you want me to stay here any longer, it's gonna cost money. That's just, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm projecting.
Well, I think Trent Williams' guaranteed money ran out before last year, but there was no hubbub from him at all because he probably knew, like, hey, I could win a Super Bowl this year, but why is it a big deal now?
That is, I think, an important piece of information. Trent Williams didn't suddenly get in the situation where he had no guaranteed money left. That was a situation last year. It's just that what changed? They lost a Super Bowl. And Christian McCaffrey got an extension when he had no guaranteed money left. All of a sudden, it was an issue for Christian. Although I think Christian was playing under no guaranteed money last year, too. Am I wrong about that?
I don't think he's had guaranteed money
since he came here.
You actually might be right about that.
I don't think he did. I think he was playing on the same deal he signed with Carolina, which frankly probably didn't have any guaranteed money. So interesting.
I don't know about Christian, but you might be right about that.
I think I'm right about that.
Yeah,
because you remember Christian came here and it did make him the highest paid running back in the league at the time. But then he had back to back seasons of a ton of injuries and he needed to prove that he could be durable before he could get a reworked contract. And then he did. Mm. And now he's hurt. Not funny. It's not funny. I see him running around.
He's laughing at this point. Yeah, I'm sure he's fine. I'm sure he's great. His 400 carries aren't going to be needed at all this year.
They got Jordan Mason, though, and Isaac. No, they don't have Isaac. They have Patrick Taylor Jr. Don't forget him. And they got Cody. No, they don't have Cody Schrader. He's gone.
They got Kyle Juszczyk.
That's what they got. Who was the running back on the – can we talk about Cam Latu for a second? So they waive him, and he clears waivers, and – I'm under the impression that the Niners were like, all right, man, you want to like be on our practice squad? And he was like, no, you didn't appreciate me. I'm leaving. And now he's in Cleveland. So Cam, good luck, man. Cleveland.
He is in Cleveland. He just wasn't good, man. That was such a reach from day one. The 49ers are so interesting in their drafting. It's like they do such a good job sometimes of just finding these gems way more than most
tight end. Except for the one tight end they found who's great.
But when it comes to some of these draft picks, they just way overreach. It doesn't make any sense. Like, how does that happen?
I don't know. Over under, do you think Nick Wright's going to have me on First Things First? And why hasn't he yet?
I don't even know.
How many times are they going to read my articles verbatim and talk about me? You could just have me on. Maybe I got a nice microphone and a webcam.
Yeah,
I can wear something other than Costco t-shirts. I can dress up. I can take the hat off. I won't curse.
It's the good and not so good. They love the good and not so good. They really do.
It's over. Do you see that Chris Broussard said that I was fine today? Thank you, Chris. It's like Grant Cohn's fine. Like,
but then he went and like said, well, my guys are Silver and Dieter Bacher or whatever.
That's fine. That's fine. I'm not everyone's cup of tea, but he said I was fine. I like that. Chris, so are you. You're A-okay.
I was going to say, to be fair, you didn't take shots at him, but you're like, hey, man, just get rid of him as your co-host. I'll be your co-host, Nick.
Oh, yeah, I did say that. Sorry, Chris. No, you can stay on the show. We could do it all together. I think you're terrific. Thank you for the shout out. He said I was fine. I was like, that's more than fair. Like, I don't know that I would go beyond that myself. Well, that's okay.
How would you rate yourself? I don't know. I'm fine.
Some days better than others. Like, yeah, that's perfectly reasonable. But when he was saying, well, how come Silver and Dieter don't do it every day? It's like, I don't know. They should. I don't understand how a starting quarterback who's 24 hasn't gotten paid yet does the same thing almost every day, and people are like, it doesn't matter. Like, maybe, but it doesn't mean you have to mention it. I like to mention it.
Yeah, I just don't think that anybody gives detailed practice reports the way that you do. I think that's your lane, and I think you've done a really good job of it. But I don't really see that anybody comes out and just talks in depth.
Larry does. David does. Nick Wagner does. I think what happened is Brock threw a bunch of picks last year, and then he had a really good season. So he does it this year, and people are like, I don't really know what to make of that. I don't really want to touch that. Because if I blow it up or if I highlight it and he has another good year, then I look stupid for even mentioning it. So I think there's a little bit of trepidation amongst the people here every day about highlighting what's so obvious and so in front of you. And then if he ends up having a big interception problem during the season, everyone will go back and be like, well, technically this was happening in camp and we didn't really make much of it at the time but in hindsight, it was right in front of our faces.
Yeah, but people don't have to give an opinion about it though either. You could just say this, it happened. It happened.
Yeah, I'm not over here being like, either way. I'm just throwing 24 picks this year. Like, I don't know. I just knew he threw like 15 this year in camp. I should count it. I want to count it because it matters. I need an official number.
Yeah, you need a spreadsheet.
I bet he knows.
But for those that aren't willing to go out on a limb and have an opinion, you don't have to, but just report what happened. But you don't even get that sometimes. I don't know. And I don't even know that it's necessarily a big deal. I think also the good and not so good is so easy to digest because it's so short. It's to the point. This is what happened. This is why it's good. This is what happened. This is why it's bad. And it's simple. And there are days where you have Brock Purdy on the good and there are days where you have him on the not so good. And so when he's on the not so good, Nick Wright loves it. And when he's on the good, your articles aren't mentioned. So
that's true. That's a really good point. Can we talk about journalism real quick? Last thing, I bring up Lombardi too much, but I mean, he's kind of like, I don't know. He's a big time journalist covering this team. And he likes to say that he said he's an objective journalist. He tweeted this. I'm an objective journalist. He said, it's not my job to agree or disagree with the team. That's for fans. It's his job to explain their rationale. To which I say, bullshit. That is not your job. Your job is not to explain their rationale. Your job is to have your own perspective and to be able to help readers decipher between what's real and what's propaganda and not feed into more propaganda. That's what I would have to say. That is not being an objective journalist. That is being a booster. A booster. So we just have different definitions of the word.
Yeah, it's so hard because there's like, what's the difference between like a beat writer and a journalist and somebody that opines, and where does it intermingle? You know, because I think with this YouTube thing, it gets so muddy. It gets so muddy. It's like, where does the journalism end and the opinions start? And is it okay to have opinions when you're a journalist? Like, I don't know. What is the definition of?
Good questions. Let's stick with this. So right now, Ira Miller, the great Ira Miller, who was the beat writer at the Chronicle. My dad was the columnist. Yeah. There were different jobs. He's in the Hall of Fame. He's staying with my dad right now. So he didn't have opinions per se in print, but he wasn't going to these press conferences to ask questions so he could help explain their rationale. You're asking questions to try to get to the truth, and your working hypothesis is that the team isn't necessarily eager to just divulge all the truth, and it's your job to go dig it up. You don't necessarily have to have an opinion about it, but it's not be like, hey, well, this is what the Niners said, and that's the way it is. Like, no. I'm going to call people from other teams. I'm going to talk to players. I'm going to really check to see if this is factual and honest. And I feel like all you're doing is trying to add some advanced stats to what the team is putting out to the public, like you're just essentially working for the team without getting paid by them.
My issue is when you claim to be the go-to guy, but you are never willing to be critical. It's really hard to be that. And if you don't, going back to what I just said, it's if you don't have an opinion or you don't want to have an opinion, you just want to deliver the news, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with that. Deliver the news then.
Agree.
With zero opinions.
But that's not what he does.
I know.
He says it's not his job to agree or disagree. Hold on. He agrees wholeheartedly. And he's like, it's like, this is what the Niners did. And it's not, this is why they did it. It's, this is why it was the right move. And this is why it was brilliant. So you do agree. That's not objective. That's partial.
Yeah.
Partial.
Yeah. And listen, there's no, I'm not saying anything here that most people wouldn't agree with. You are very critical of the team, okay? And a lot of people get really frustrated with your cynicism sometimes. But what nobody can say, they cannot say that Grant Cohn never says good things about the team, because you do. You literally every day have a good and a not so good. And it doesn't matter. We just talked about it. Brock Purdy sometimes is on the good. Sometimes he's on the not so good. And you explain your reasoning why. Now, whether somebody else wants to agree with it, that's on them. But what they can't say is you're always negative and you only take that stance, because it's simply not true. It's not.
No.
So
no, I think what you're saying is, I don't really know what these job delineations are. Like, I've never heard of a news organization hiring someone to cover a team and said, look, man, we want you to have no perspective of your own. We are hiring you because we don't value your perspective at all. We just want you to explain their perspective. Like, no, like news organizations don't want to be 49ers.com. They hire someone because they feel like, okay, like you have some experience. You've covered this team. You've covered that team. You've got an interesting lens, a unique lens through which to view this team. And we're hiring you for that lens, that experience, not just to be like, they're right. They're brilliant. It's incredible. Like, and I know it works for him, and maybe it works for them because it pays off. But I just feel like that's to call yourself objective journalism. Like, well, that's objectively not what you are.
I also am very curious. The 49ers, when did he start covering the team?
2017.
Okay. So the 49ers had the 2 years of rebuild, but it was really, it was easy to be positive about the team because they were.
Yeah, we didn't have to see Lombardi during the Chip Kelly years or the Tom Sula years. How would he have handled that? In fact, that would have been amazing.
I'm curious to know if the 49ers aren't good at some point, which will eventually happen. I don't know when. What is the move then? What do you do then? If all you're doing
about
is
the rebuild that they're doing. The rebuild. I mean, whatever they're trying to do, it doesn't matter. It's like, well, what are they trying to do? What do they say is happening? Oh, they're rebuilding. They're retooling. Oh, well, they're doing it. But way better than people realize. They said this is what they're doing. I understand what they're doing. In fact, I'm the smartest person in the room, and I have a better ability to articulate just exactly what John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan are thinking. I can do the whole thing, and it's genius. It's genius. Let me explain it to you.
I don't have an issue. Listen, everybody's in this game. This is how he makes his money, feeds his family. I hope everybody in the world watches them if that's their cup of tea. The only thing that I disagree with him is how condescending he is. even in the quote today where he says that's for fans to figure out. He's basically saying he's above you. He's different than you. We are not the same. You're a fan. You're a peon. I cover this team. Let me do my job. I can't get behind. And even more so because I'm not going to get personal.
One of us
that's
wanted
just the way that I feel.
If one of us wanted the Niners to win, who do you think it would be? Me or him?
Oh, definitely him.
Like when the Niners lose, I would imagine that his like heart sinks a little bit. Like, oh.
Well, he grew up a 49er fan. He admits
I have to work really hard to find nice things to say today. So did I. But like when the Niners lose, do you think I'm over there being like, darn, I don't know what I'm going to say tonight. This post-game show might not be so good. I'm like, oh, snap. This is it. Like, I've got to be on my A-game tonight because people want to know what the hell just happened. And they're looking to me to ask the question in the post-game press conference and to bring the heat afterwards. Like, I'm ready to go. This is my night. Sometimes when they win, I'm like, well, this isn't that dramatic. Like, there's not really that much. They beat Washington. Like, there's not really much you can say. But, yeah, when they lose, I'm ready to go. I wonder if he is. Gotta be. And I feel like even fans, like you're a fan, like once you become a content creator, you realize like you gotta not go into that fan, I'm upset my team lost. Like you could do that tomorrow, but after the game, you gotta be ready to go. You still have your best night of the season after they lose.
Yeah, I don't think that it's happened for me very often. I mean, I've definitely tried my best to separate the fandom when the game's on. Like but as soon as it's over, it's like, okay, what actually happened and how do I deliver that? I think the one time where you saw me visibly upset was right after the Super Bowl because it was like, damn. Like,
yeah.
They really just
I actually do root for this team.
Yeah.
Amy Gonzalez says these roster questions are meant for David. He gives objective reasoning for every move. Hear, hear. I agree. David Baker says, how much does fan input affect the front office? I think it does. I don't think they want to be perceived as weak by their own fan base.
I think the only thing that affects the front office is fan input with their money.
I think they were going to take Mac Jones and we bullied him out of it. And maybe we should apologize. I don't know. What if Mac Jones ends up being good?
Mac Jones sucks too.
Does he? I don't know.
They all suck. That's the thing is there was no right answer. There was literally
Trevor Lawrence.
Looking back on it, there was no right answer at the number three pick. None of them. Or the right answer.
No, there was. It was Panay Sewell. Wave 9 says Lombardi glazes the Niners more than Danielson glazes Mr. Miyagi at the Miyagi Douay. I wanted them to get Kyle Pitts, which was really another wrong answer.
I was just going to say, even Kyle Pitts wasn't the right answer.
Wave 9 says the only reason McCaffney was lead rusher last year was because Nick Chubb's gruesome injury.
Ugh.
Yuck.
He's really good.
Brian Salcido, $10. I'm so done with 11. He acts like a spoiled teen. I don't want him back now. Good riddance. Send him to a trash team for a fourth. They will have 3 years of control. He has no choice but to play or sign. I'm telling you, I think Niner fans want something.
They do, but that's why I asked the question. After today, I think Niner fans are much more on board with him being traded than if they would have done it a week ago. Because now that's like, oh, see? Now you see what we've been dealing with, right, guys?
Is that what today was all about? Like, I refuse to be like the Niners were like, we don't know if he's going to be there. We'll find out. Oh, my God. It's not, like, that was all set up. So why do it like that? What? That's the question, right? Why did today unfold? It was so freaking dramatic. Usually teams don't want drama and circus, but today was like, it was the Ringling Brothers out there. And why does this help the Niners?
They 100% talked to him. Either today or yesterday, and knew he wasn't coming.
Yeah.
He just didn't.
Yeah. But they want fans to be like, you know, we believe in Brandon and we think he's going to do the right thing. And like, oh my God, what? It just blows our mind that he would do something like this. I mean, Brandon, the nice young man, who has he become? He's changed. Change, Brandon. Tinker says, yeah, Grant stresses me out sometimes, but for what it's worth, it's straightforward and honest. Job well done. He secretly likes the 49ers.
Listen, I think I can speak for a lot of people in this chat when I say the reason that I found your content was when the 49ers were losing, and you were the only person that I could go to make sense of it when they couldn't win in 2020. It was like, this team freaking sucks. And I would look forward to the post game because it was like, yeah, it sucks they lost, but like Grant's going to go off on them. Like, at least I got that to look forward to.
It's fun when the Niners lose. Like, most of the time, Niner fans hate me. But when they lose, all of a sudden, my mentions on Twitter just blow up like, give him hell, Grant. Don't go easy on him, Grant. Like, oh, okay. All right. Now you want me to. You know Kyle hates me. It's your fault. You guys egg me on. Jeff Caravella says, I follow and I'm subscribed to multiple SF9 content producers, but not Dave's. Can't get into it. What percentage of people do you think relate to me?
Listen, Dave has. But here's the thing is David does have a big following, and there's obviously a big chunk of this fan base that clamors for him. I think it's easier to be told what you want to hear. And I think there's all, I think also there's a big chunk of this fan base that is diehard, meaning they're there for every step, every moment during the offseason. They can't get enough. And they have an opinion. They probably think to themselves at times, Grant, if I had the time, I could do what Jesse does. I could do what Grant does. And they might be right about that. They might be totally right. But then there is a group that really doesn't care about any of that. They don't argue and debate with their friends. They just want the news and they want to feel good about the team. And that's where David comes in.
I've taken the new member. Everybody fans differently. Question. Aaron Lofton says, journalism major at Sac State here. Why do my teachers keep saying that journalism is dying? Well, I think that's what I've been talking about for the last 15 minutes. Like, what that dude calls objective journalism is what I call propaganda. And it seems like it's harder and harder to get objective journalism these days. I don't know. I mean, I'm not getting into political coverage, but yeah. I'm just saying.
I think because for the same reason the song that video killed the radio stars around YouTube and the way that people consume content is so much different than print. And I think that when people look at journalism or teach journalism, especially if they're older, they probably look at it in print form. And yeah, that probably is dying, but that doesn't mean there's not a path to journalism. It's just different.
Anyway, Niner says, I'll say it so you guys don't have to. Lombardi is a mouthpiece. Sometimes Grant is over the top, but you don't twist things to fit a narrative for your sake. There are mouthpieces are a dime a dozen. I feel like he takes it to a new level. Like, man, they're not telling you this stuff. You're inventing this stuff. You are like going above and beyond to find. Anyway, that's enough. Thank you, 808 Niner. I appreciate it. That was a good show.
It was a good show.
Brandon Ayuk, Trent Williams.
I can't believe we're here. I can't, 49er fans, I cannot believe that we are here. We are now, today's almost over. What, 11 days from the season starting, and Trent Williams and Brandon Ayuk are not here? Who had that on their bingo card?
I can't wait for the Niners to leak what this all means, because this morning it was like, Greg Popp was like, oh, word on the street is that Brandon's going to practice today. And then Garofolo said it. It's like, yeah, I guess if you believe the Niners on this one. So now he didn't practice, and are those guys going to call their sources back and be like, yo, what happened? Like, yeah, that Brandon, I don't know. He's just a loose cannon. We really thought he'd be out there. Sorry.
It was clear that the team was trying to put pressure on him to practice through the media.
Yeah, well, that worked. Jeff Caravella says, I grew up in New York City, Knicks, Mets, Niners. Grant covers the Niners the way NYC media covers NYC sports. Maybe that's why Lombardi doesn't do it for me. He also has no heart, and always walking and talking in public is so annoying. I do think it's like a Northern California thing. I think people in Northern California are way different than people in New York. And most people just want to be told that their team is disrespected and not given enough credit and a victim of the East Coast bias and all that stuff.
Yeah, I can truly say this, that I grew up in the Pacific Northwest, Oregon Duck fan, and I was always like, man, they're just disrespecting the Ducks and whatever. Now that I've lived out here for almost 6 years, like, no, the games are legitimately not on TV until they start at 10 o'clock at night. Like, it's not that you're disrespected, but nobody genuinely watches you out here because they're not staying up till 1 a.m. to do so. They don't care.
Yeah, and back in the day when people got a lot of their sports information in the newspaper the next day, they don't have the West Coast scores. in the paper. So like even back like now on the internet you get them, but like if you grew up out there, you like legitimately wouldn't even know what happened in those games the next day.
Well, because nobody was staying up till one in the morning to write. The papers are published. They're exactly. Going out at 3 a.m. It's over.
Exactly. Yeah. Wave 9 says, can't wait until next year to see the Niners pay Brock just to find out they were wrong in 3 years. He loves himself some hero ball. Ooh. Ooh.
I don't know about all that. Yeah, we'll see.
Well, if he loves himself some hero ball, we will find that out in a few weeks. Jesse, great show. Good yes, stuff. Sir. Make sure you like and subscribe, Last Second Sports and Cone Zone. I'll be back tomorrow. I guess more watching practice. Tomorrow, four-man front. How about that? On Ryan's channel.
Yep.
Make sure you subscribe and like Ryan's channel. It's going to be me, Jesse, Ryan, and the coach every Thursday. Four-man panel, four-man front. We could have went 3-4, but we decided to go wide 9.
Yeah, way better defensive choice.
Way better defense. See you guys tomorrow.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.